If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me today, we are taking a journey through Hebrews chapter 11. It's an opportunity for us to see how prayers and promises are in fact connected together. And I want to use the connecting glue this morning out of Hebrews 11, verse 1. Your nice little outline that's written down, you can put verse 1 out beside the very first definition. There are many places where faith is described throughout Scripture, but I believe prayer is grounded in faith. And one of the greatest definitions of faith comes from that particular passage. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Or at least that's how it says in the New Revised Standard Version. My King James upbringing, I have to quote that as, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So whether you use substance and evidence or assurance and conviction, it's a great reminder of what faith really is about. It's not something that we can hold on to, not something that we can physically touch, but it is something that grounds everything else that we do. And so this morning in this great wall of faith, Hebrews 11, we've skipped quite a few names that are listed throughout Hebrews 11, but we're going to focus in on one particular name this morning. If you've been in a camp setting lately, you might be familiar with the campfire song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. And then you start moving your right hand for whatever reason. And then you sing the song again, and then you move your left hand, and then you move your right foot, and then you move your left foot. I don't know if it was just made so we could do calisthenics. Would anybody actually admit to singing that song at some point in time in their life? Oh, thank you so much. Okay, good. All right, so somebody has experienced that. We're going to be talking about Father Abraham today. And he was called out in many different ways. He was living out his faith by listening to God's call. And so that's what we should be looking at today as well. Can we live out our faith as we listen to God's call in our lives? And there were a few ways here in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham specifically lives out this call of faith. Verse number 8, the very first thing right off the bat, it says he was called to go. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out from a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. I am accused many times when I take off in the car and we're going to a place where we don't quite know where it is that I specifically and directly want to get lost. And so I was trying to show Thomas where the airport was the other day in Barber County. Have you ever been to the airport in Barber County? And I wanted to show him this $1 million road that was built, right? Wasn't there millions of dollars used to build the road up to the airport? And I said, Thomas, it's at least 4 lanes wide. I'm not sure what I was really remembering about it. It's not quite 4 lanes wide, but it's a very nice road once you get up past the middle school and the elementary school. And I said, now I know, though, there's another way to get up over next to where Dr. Shear lives. And so surely we can connect. You know, we're up here on the nice paved road, and I mean, it's the same airport. It's not like it's the Pittsburgh airport. Surely we can just find our way over to the other road and then come down next to Dr. Shear's. What do you think? Anybody ever try that? It doesn't work. I guess we could have hiked it. I mean, it wouldn't have been that far to hike, but it doesn't quite connect. But we tried every little gravel road up there next to the airport. You know, sometimes we're called to go even when we're not sure where we're going to end up. So finally we just got out of the car and we went up and we looked up over the airport and we saw all of Barber County, and it was a beautiful sight to just sort of be up above things and to check out the surroundings. Abraham was called to go even when he wasn't sure where he was going to end up. Not only was he called to go, out of verse 8, he was also called to stay in verse 9. Sometimes we're very good at responding. There are some of us that love to jump in and try something new. And we're on board for whatever it might be. But then in verse 9, it gives us the other part of that. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Now, some of you Boy Scouts out there might have a better recollection of this than me, but have you tried staying in tents lately? It's not very comfortable at places, and it's not very permanent. And when the elements of the world come at you, you are subject to whatever it might be. Or as it's been said, it's great to go away and visit, but there's something about coming back home to your own bed and to know what that's like. There's something then about staying where we are. Even though it for Abraham it didn't seem to be very permanent. Lord, you called me to this place, but yet you haven't fulfilled or finished that calling. And what the Lord called him to more than anything was to continue to be faithful, was to stay in the midst, even when things didn't quite look right or you couldn't quite figure out how it all fit together, he was still called to stay. But while he's staying there, while he's living in tents, while he's sort of planning for what's next, but he really doesn't know what's next, there's also a call to dream that is a part of that staying. In verse number 10, he goes on to say, he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He may be living in a tent now, but he had a picture of what it would be one day. And it wasn't about what could be made by human hands. It was about what God was putting together in ways that he could not see or imagine. God calls us to go. God calls us to stay. God calls us to dream. And in verse 11, he also calls us to multiply. Interesting how he puts that in 11. By faith he received power of procreation. Now, the last time I checked, that's something that comes pretty natural to most folks. But there was a slight issue with Abraham. What was it? He was old. He was Adra old. 100 years old. And yet, he still hadn't had children. But yet, there was this promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. And he was called to multiply. And I think in our lives, more than anything, that means we are called to disciple. We're called to not be content with who is already a part of our lives, but to continue to be investing in others and sharing with them, whether it's for a long period of time or a short period of time. We also have been given the power of procreation, of seeing disciples of Jesus to the next generation and the generation after that. Anthony Hinkle comes up to me this morning before church and he says, Pastor John, I want you to see a picture I drew. And it's a beautiful picture of this mountainside, but in the middle of it is this rugged old brown cross. And you see this man hanging on this brown cross. But it was made with such love and care and reverence of who it is that was there and how we need to remember that time. It's good to be investing, to be about our Father's business. We are in the multiplying business as we continue today. We're called to go, we're called to stay, we're called to dream, we're called to multiply. And then just a few verses later, in verse 17, there's one more by faith section that is worth mentioning along our journey as well. we are also called to surrender. We're called to give up whatever is near and dear to us. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promise was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named after you." You sometimes scratch your head at the way God works and you say, "Lord, I know you've placed this in my life for a reason, and now it looks like you're taking it away again." But do we have that same kind of faith? Do we still have that same calling in our life to even surrender what we hold on to the most, to then let God work and use in ways that He can? And I'm not sure about you dads, but sometimes that's a hard lesson to learn, to let our children go and let them make their own mistakes and let them grow up and be adults, when I just rather continue to make sure they don't make the same dumb mistakes I did when I was growing up, and just sort of continue to try to beat that in their heads. But there's somewhere along the way, we've got to let go. Or whatever it is for you that you feel like, well, God's given me this, so it's my duty to control it. It's my obligation. He's given me this job, or He's given me this family, or He's given me these possessions, and so I've got to make sure it's here. And God says, are you willing to let go of everything and allow me to direct? Are you willing to let your faith live out a calling that involves surrender? And so the writer of Hebrews finishes this section on what it means about living out our faith by listening to God's call. He says in verse 19, he considered the fact, this is Abraham, Abraham considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and he did, in fact, receive him back. There was a way that was provided. You know the story well. They went and they were going to do the sacrifice. Isaac was up on the altar and he was about ready, and then they heard the goat in the background doing what a goat does. And even at the last minute, there was a provision. There was a way that God provided. So how does that then look when we live out our calling connected to God's promises? Over in Romans chapter 4, you will see the continuation of this particular story. Not only does the writer of Hebrews feature Abraham is featured many places throughout God's Scripture, but in chapter 4 of Romans, he gets the top billing as well. Almost from the beginning verse in chapter 4 of Romans to the end, there is an opportunity to hear God's promises and how Abraham is connected to that. God's promises are realized through obedience. And we find that lived out in Romans chapter 4. So even as we see our next point there, God's promises are realized through obedience. Over and over again through Romans chapter 4, you will see the example of Abraham. David gets one little mention throughout this, but really it's about Abe. It's about his connection with God, his faith, his belief. And I think one of the reasons why so much of this was told over so many verses is just to make sure we don't miss the point. It's not about Abraham's works. It's not about making sure we earn our salvation, but that his obedience was then counted toward him as righteousness. His connection to God continued to be his faith, but his faith was lived out in a very real and tangible way. So God's promises are realized through obedience, and those promises, there are two points to this, promises you will see in this lifetime, and promises you will see after this lifetime, or promises you will see in your lifetime, and promises you will see after your lifetime. Both of them are mentioned throughout these verses in Romans 4. It's an opportunity for us to realize God promises He will never leave us nor forsake us here, and that He also provides for us even after here. Miss Louita Stafford was a beautiful example of that on Wednesday. She made sure we knew how she was connected to Margaret. She says, "Now, preacher, we play cards over there at Boffman Towers." And she said, "I'm the scorekeeper." I said, well, Miss Louita, what cards do you play?" She says, "We play Phase 10. And she says, "And I try to keep score as honest as I can." Margaret, you're going to have to get a new scorekeeper, I guess. I don't know who's going to fill those shoes, but I know somebody's going to step up and do that. But it's not going to be Margaret. Margaret is not going to keep score. But there was something that they enjoyed doing together. I like Margaret's definition of how they played. She said, "Now, when we play cards, it's not a gossip session. We're not there to gossip about one another. We're there to play cards." I said, "All right, that's probably a pretty good thing there, Margaret, to focus on something that you enjoy doing." And Louita was ready. Louita was prepared for what God had in store next. She had been promised that her days would be full, and it certainly was. But she's also been promised to be in God's presence forever. Abraham had to live his life in such a way that he lived out those promises. Certainly, he was giving the initial promise even before he was circumcised. That was sort of a big deal. You know, you sort of were connected to the Jewish people by an outward sign on the male people, and that's how they showed their connection and their allegiance to the one true living God. But the writer of Romans makes sure we see this promise is not just given for one select group of people. Abraham was given it to him even before he went through a process of outward circumcision. He said, "It's really about our faith and not about what we do. We live out our faith as we continue to obey." He finishes up Romans 4 by saying in 22, "Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness." Now the words "it was reckoned to him" were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. "It will be reckoned to us who believe in Him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification." It's about those two stories that Brother David mentioned this morning to our kids. The original story of God and His people and the continuation of that story as Jesus comes and establishes that we are all His people. And that His promises are for us in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come. So, you have to fill in the last blanks. How will you answer God's call in your life? This call to go, to stay, or to be committed, to dream, or to think beyond what's continually happening. This call to multiply, a call to continue to surrender in our lives. What is God calling you to be about and to be for? "Take this world and give me Jesus." What beautiful lyrics from this incredible song we heard today. So when the walls come falling down on me, when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. May it be so, even today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, you sent us the prophets of old. Father Abraham, to show us your ways, to turn away from our worldly desires of power and wealth, to live our lives in ways that honor and lift up others, seeing each other as brother and sister. Instead, we have focused on the prophets of today. Prophets over people, corporations. The wealthy are getting richer, and those who live in poverty are becoming far too numerous. If we are to truly follow you, Christ, who emptied himself on the cross, so we must empty ourselves of our selfish ways and seek to follow you. Lifting up the poor and the marginalized, working to bring people out of poverty, guide us to seek your ways when the ways of the world are so stifling and oppressing that it's hard to feel your presence. Keep us to your promises, these promises of eternal life, of abundant joy, of true peace, so that we may live this life fully for you by living for others. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn this morning is a familiar tune. The words may not be as familiar. Let's stand together as we sing, "If My People's Hearts Are Humbled." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Though the shadows grow long, we can feel God beside us in the darkness. We are not alone, and God remains faithful. Through darkness into light, we have been forgiven. We live in the promise of eternal life. Live knowing God is with you always. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.